This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm recording super early with Susan. Hey, Susan, how you doing?
We're never recording this early ever again.
We never, because I'm not quite awake. Are you awake?
No. And it's not even that early, but like for me, I don't get really started until 9 ever.
Yeah, for some reason, I had a rough night with my baby, but other than that, I kind of like my voice doesn't quite get there.
Oh,
my
yeah.
brain doesn't quite catch up until about 9:30 either. Around this time is when I'm usually in the shower, just trying to wake up. But anyway, we have a lot to talk about, so let's just get right into it. And we're going to start off with what our commander-in-chief is so super excited about. And I know he is because I checked his Twitter feed this morning and he's got a big old Twitter banner that says State of the Union.
I have not checked it. What's he off on today?
Well, he didn't tweet anything today. And we know why he's pulled back. But his Twitter banner is now this huge advertisement for State of the Union, 9 p.m., February 5th. He's so excited that Nancy Pelosi is letting him into the chamber.
He's treating it like the season finale of like a Apprentice episode or Apprentice season.
Oh, he's so excited. So Kellyanne Conway talked about, she was asked what Trump is going to talk about. And she said he's going to use the State of the Union address to urge Americans to come together and reject the politics of resistance. Now, what does that mean? Of resisting him?
Yeah, he's going to urge unity behind a single leader without any sort of dissent. That's definitely the message Americans need to hear.
That's exactly what America was founded on.
Yeah. He thinks unity means like unity behind him, not like unity that he joins in on.
Well, she said the president's going to call for an end to the politics of resistance, retribution, and call for more comedy, she said. And first of all, he doesn't even know what that word means. So.
Didn't he do that last year? Like, I kind of recall that being a thing he like said last year as well.
There was a brief mention, but there was a lot of bitching and moaning and a lot of just massaging himself, as to I did this.
Okay, wild bet. There's going to be a lot of bitching and moaning tonight, too.
There will be. There will also be a lot of lies about the things he's accomplished. What there won't be is probably a lot of information about like what he's planning to do in the new year other than the goddamn wall, or maybe even, and because some people are saying he might use this opportunity to declare that national emergency he's been threatening.
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. I mean, he would, but like his advisors wouldn't let him.
Totally. You think like Mitch McConnell would be like, well, what are they going to do if he's on camera? He just goes.
I know.
Well, he doesn't want it, but I'm saying, well, how are they going to stop this wrecking ball of a human being? I mean, like, he's just going to go for it.
But I think his advisors could tell him, hey, it's going to make your big moment on TV like a, you know, not make you look good. You're going to look like petty and angry.
Okay.
And that'll convince him not to, I hope. But I mean, not that it really matters where he does it.
Yeah. I mean, look, we do know, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, the tradition of the State of the Union is in text actually released before it's delivered. Right. So we should be getting some copy at some point today, but.
All right. The State of our Union is fill in the last word. What's it going to be?
Chaos.
From him.
Maybe that's what he's working on right now. He's been awfully quiet on Twitter for the last couple of days, but I don't think it's because of the State of the Union. I think it's because he's been called out. Somebody in the White House, props to this person, leaked his internal schedule and tells us exactly what this man does in his executive time. Nothing.
Well, so here's what we know is that his schedules, like not just the public ones, the internal ones were released, and like 60% of his time was executive time, quote unquote, which I'd love to know if that was a phrase used before Trump. It could be, but it's really funny now in the Trump context. So but this is two things. Like one, yes, Trump does not do that much work as president.
Yeah.
But two, that was not all. I mean, a lot of it is his like Fox and Friends time. But, you know, Fox and Friends time is not constrained executive time. It goes outside of that all the time, too. But it also does is it covers up, even from his own staffers, what he's actually doing. Stuff that he does not want his own people to know because they might leak it, which, you know, he's not wrong about that. He's using this to, like, get around not even just the public disclosure laws, but, like, any kind of paper record of what he was doing. It's a evasion of the Presidential Records Act by not creating records in the first place.
If there was a paper record, if there was a paper record of it, he would just eat that paper. Oh, we know that's his.
How much paper has he eaten?
Tear it up. We'll find out when they do an autopsy on him one day.
Like those fish they find with like stuffed to the gills with plastic. Yeah.
Well, exactly. There'd be like paper in his throat. Well, he has been awfully quiet on Twitter the last couple of days. I don't know if it's because of this, but I mean, a lot of the executive time, I would love to actually, that'd be interesting to do, is to take a look at the times that are listed executive time and when he's tweeting, correspondent when he's tweeting. I mean,
Philip Bump from the Washington Post already got you there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What did he
find? He had an article on it. I mean, it was mostly his analysis was like, well, it's probable that Trump didn't do this tweet. I'm like, no shit. It's got like a retweet with a comment on it. So we know it wasn't Trump. All I see on our outline is nipple and button.
Nipple and button. Yes, that's the next bullet point. Nipple and button. I don't know if you caught this story, but I was like, I could not talk about this because this is our flippin' president. Okay, so apparently in a White House intelligence briefing that just happened recently, Trump was presented some intelligence materials that he looked at that had the words Nepal and Bhutan, okay, which are two distinct separate countries. They're two different nations. He mispronounced them as nipple and button, okay? And then he noted that they're both part of India, all right? This was reported by John Walcott of Time, and he said that sources in the intelligence community are concerned that the president presents a national security risk because of his willful ignorance about international affairs and his refusal to listen to advice from his intelligence experts. Part of his story also goes on to talk about how they are trying everything to get and capture this man's attention when they are talking about fucking national security. They're trying charts and graphs. They're trying to use as much color on the documents as possible, pictures. Another tactic they use is to... Do they? I didn't.
Wait, you hear this part? The Statue of Liberty. So, in order to convey to him how big North Korea's like secret facilities are, they made like a scale model of the Statue of Liberty and placed it inside a scale model of the facility to make him understand how big it was, because he was not comprehensive. He was like, "Oh, it's not that big of a facility."
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like I'm laughing because like nipple and button is pretty hilarious. And if it was a scriptwriter, like I'd be like, "Okay, you know what? You're gonna get my laugh in the theater." But this is not a movie, and this is all really horrifying.
Yeah.
And
another tactic they use is to apparently to keep repeating his name and title, Mr. President. Like they keep like talking to a child. In the same report, they talk about how at one point, Paul Ryan, when he was speaker, was trying to presenting some policy proposal or some issue to him. President Trump got up, wandered out of the room as he's talking and turned a TV on in the other room. At what point are we like the threat is coming from inside the White House and like shut this shit down? I don't understand. Like,
well, are we actually better off if he does pay attention to security briefings? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, when you have to actually wonder, like, is worst case scenario him doing this or him actually getting involved in the policy? That's. I mean, this is a hard stuff to report on because
I'll tell you, the thing is he makes policy without knowing the facts. And that's the problem.
And he's ignored just as often, though, because he doesn't understand. If he knew the policy, he could do a better job of making policies that would actually get enforced and implemented. But like the reporters doing this stuff, like I don't have criticism for what they're doing and trying to convey his like lack of policy knowledge and his disregard for briefing and policy in general.
This will not
change.
They're
trying, but like, how do you convey
him
to the American people like the significance of this? How do you actually get this idea through and make it not a joke, but make it like this is actually a dire crisis that goes on every day, and all these people in the White House don't resign in shock and fear and protest, which in a functioning democracy you might expect to see more often.
I mean, a lot of people have left the space, but a lot of it's just been because of personality clashes, apparently. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, his base just doesn't care. He demonstrated during his campaign and during the last couple of years of his presidency that he doesn't know anything and he doesn't care because he uses his gut and his brain cells. And he has repeatedly said, that's all I need. I don't even need advisors. I am my best advisor.
Well, on a related topic, so remember that he hadn't tweeted much lately, but that one tweet he had, which could be why he's been, gotten his Twitter time taken away about the intelligence community. Did you see that? That one was straight up horrifying, despite
When was that?
It was shortly after they had everyone, the intel chiefs testified on the Hill.
Right. So this happened last week. Trump tweeted that basically the media was misreporting what the testimony was and that the intelligence chiefs had come into the White House and cleared up. And what did they testify to?
Basically,
they were misquoted. And he's like, just read the transcript. But the transcript confirms what the media was reporting.
Well, it was shown live, basically. And it showed that they testified right. about various threats. I mean, like Iran was like his main point of anger. And these guys, they were not like pro-Iran kind of folks. They're not like, you know, they think Iran is a big threat. But they also don't think it is the biggest threat that we are facing. And they do not think that Iran is developing a nuclear, you know, power. So right. Trump is wrong about that, which they did not say Trump is wrong about that, but their words meant Trump was wrong. So he goes and tweets, oh, I met with them. We had a sit down and had a picture of them all together right. and they were mischaracterized, which means that either A, they did all go in there and said, oh, Mr. President, we did not disagree with you in public. We are mischaracterized. Wink, wink, wink. Or B, that did not happen, and Trump tweeted out anyway, and they were quiet about Trump lying about what they told
right.
them.
What are they going to do? I mean, the thing is, I also can believe that this idiot would tweet that thinking it's true that they were mischaracterized because he actually didn't watch. You know, it's not easy watching, like, Senate testimony. And some, it's not like The Apprentice. It's not Fox and Friends. It's not glamorous. I totally believe this guy didn't actually sit there and watch it, and he's just hearing what he's hearing on Fox and Friends. But at the same time, it's hard for me to believe that these intelligence chiefs would sit in the White House at the Oval Office of the president and then lie to him.
Well, they did that. Because they either did before or after the fact, because even they didn't say that, they let the lie stand afterwards. So, yeah, our intelligence chiefs are fine with telling placating lies to dear leader to make sure, you know, he's not angry at them.
Maybe they won't challenge him when he lies, but I don't know if they
that
would willingly lie.
That counts as a lie. When you go and get pictured in a photo op at the White House with the president and he tweets out what they supposedly told him, that's obviously untrue. Yeah. If you let the president say that he said a lie that publicly, you have to correct it or you're lying too.
Only Putin knows for sure what was said in that room, I suppose. All right. So
did you see that Russia randomly released a video from 1995 of Trump's Moscow trip?
Tell me about that. I saw that little bullet point. What's that about?
To it. It's just randomly, like, the Russia State Archives released this video of Trump in 95 when he was in one of his, like, you know, sabbatical attempts to make a Moscow tower. Yeah.
You know, somebody noted, I don't know who it was, but I saw it on Twitter. Somebody said it's been more difficult for Trump to build this flipping tower in Russia than it was for him to win the presidency of the United States.
You know, he has tried really hard to make this tower for a long time. It's one of the few things that he's like really stuck with. I mean, I don't know why he's so obsessed with it, but he really does want that Moscow tower.
Why do you think the Russia released this? I feel like they're sending him a signal like we have videos that you don't even know about.
I mean, it could just be trolling. They did it a lot too. Trolling him, trolling America,
What happened in the video?
No, it's just him meeting. Like, it's purely just like a business meeting, talking about this tower. Okay. So, but again, given that the Moscow Tower from 2015, 2016 is in the news like every day now,
they're sending a message.
I know.
They're sending a message, yeah.
I mean, that's not an unreasonable speculation.
I love books. I am a big, big reader. I have always been a big reader ever since I was a kid. But here's the thing. I am that person who collects them and collects them and collects them and always has my eyes on other books that I want to read, but I can't always get around to it. We just don't have time in our days to read them all. But we have a sponsor, Blinkist, that might have solved this problem. Blinkist is the only app that takes thousands of best-selling nonfiction books and distills them down to their most impactful elements. And that's important. They don't take fiction books and just, you know, bullet point them. They take the nonfiction books, the books that, you know, like teach you something. They have, you know, like maybe they're about science, maybe they're about healing, maybe they're learning, they're about history, and they distill them down to their most important points. So you can read or listen to them in under 15 minutes, all on your phone. With Blinkist, you can expand your knowledge and learn more in just 15 minutes than you can in any other way. And plus, you can listen to it anywhere. Now, I listen to Blinkist when I'm basically driving and doing the dishes. So literally, in the matter of one drive, drive, going to pick up my daughter from school, I can get through, like, you know, some of the most salient points in a book that I've been meaning to read, like on mindfulness or whatever it is. You know, I mean, like, there's so many things that I've wanted to learn. I just don't have the time, but I love Blinkist because I can do this anywhere. And their library is massive. They've got timeless classics like Think and Grow Rich and current bestsellers like Fire and Fury. Now, I recommend checking out a recent book that I did on Blinkist called Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. Emotional Intelligence takes about 15 minutes of reading time. They have an audio version available, and I've always wanted to actually read this book. It was a groundbreaking book when it came out, and it just redefines what it means to be smart because, you know, now, a lot of people think that, you know, the way you measure somebody's intelligence is their IQ, but the truth is, and science shows, and Goleman argues that, you know, emotional intelligence is probably more important than actual IQ, and anybody can actually develop emotional intelligence. So definitely check out this book. I loved it. I learned a lot from it. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for our audience, so you can check it out too. Go to Blinkist.com/45th and get a free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/45th and start your free 7-day trial today. Blinkist.com/45th. I see that you have some new information about the wall that is being built that actually I didn't catch. So tell us about this wall. Is this like
you
in the new
the border wall system?
The border wall, is that what it's called now?
Yeah, okay. That's what we're calling it because we want to call it a wall, but also like it's not a lot of, it's a lot of non-wall kind of thing. So we're going to call it border wall mm-hmm. system. Have okay. you heard about the National Butterfly Center?
No, but that sounds lovely.
Well, you should go very quick because it might not be there for long.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah. So
are they getting rid of it?
Yeah, it's this like section along the border in Texas that they are starting to build right now. Because the 2018, back in March 2018, Congress did pass some money for the border wall system. I think it was like, what, $1.8 mm-hmm. billion or something? And they are finally moving ahead and using that money to build. So they have legal authorization on that front. And they have put, you know, bulldozers in place. And they put it along this, like, sort of along a 25 stretch along the border. Now, a lot of that, it's going to be 25 miles in all. But that border is already partially fenced in places. So they're not going to be building 25 new miles. The stretch right. where the Butterfly Center is, they're doing like an 8-mile levee wall system. So not a wall. It's actually a levee with some fencing, with some steel pokey bits coming up. And it's right. going to go through the Butterfly Center and a nearby state park that is like home to a massive like birder community. Both of which bring in millions of dollars to that community every year in tourism. And especially with the state park, like I think 70% of it is going to be on the wrong side of the wall.
Oh my God, so, you're kidding me.
Yeah. And of course, this levee wall system involves not just like the steel slats and the levee, but like mass vegetation clearing. So you have better visibility along there for like 150 feet, which is prime habitat made exactly to keep the birds and the butterflies there.
Oh my Lord.
And the thing is, so you look at this Custom Border Patrol's maps, and it just seems so pointless because this is not a continuous stretch of wall here. It's got gaps. Like one park, some congressman must have stepped in and saved it because a park nearby, there is no fencing through it. They're not going to destroy the park. So you just like keep walking past the Butterfly Center and go up through that park and you're good to go. So they're destroying a park for hard to see what the point is. And also, so I was looking at Google Maps and the CBP maps, and I'm not sure if that means that the CBP maps were wrong, but like there are houses on the wrong side of their planned wall they're building.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I could figure that out.
So, well, I mean, are you think that that land is all going to just be seized under eminent domain and then the government has to compensate? I don't know what, is it like market value? I don't know how they compensate the landowners. They have to compensate them and ask them to move out and shit. I mean, like,
the maps could be wrong. Or they could be planning to leave it like holes in the fences so that people can drive back
home.
Girl,
Google Maps knows what's real.
Well, the Custom Border Patrol map might be wrong. They might have like but also they could be meaning that the roads are not going to be walled off. They're going to have a fence, but the roads are going to be open so you can still drive back and forth to get home.
Well, I heard nothing about this Butterfly Center and I wish they had made a little more, or maybe they tried, but made a little more noise because this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. So.
They've been trying. It's just I'm kind of surprised it's so little. I mean, people like butterflies. And of course, it's got like the angle of, you know, Trump regret, which apparently reporters today still reporting on here in Trump country. They still love Trump. But the Butterfly Center guy ran it, did vote for Trump, and it was like, I shouldn't have done it. It's like, I support border security, but my butterflies.
Suddenly, I don't feel so bad anymore.
I feel bad for the butterflies and the environment.
I do. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, they should be okay, right? Don't they find another place to live? I don't know how this
now
works.
Now when you destroy the vegetation habitat, and yeah. you put a lot. Yeah, it's not just butterflies.
So
butterflies
this is all happening. This is all happening just in those 6 miles, right, basically?
Well, this is like an 8 mile stretch or 6 mile stretch. I think it's near Mission, Texas. That's where the park and the Butterfly Center are. But there's like 25 miles that are being connected up, and most of it's existing fencing. So, yeah, there are apparently like lawsuits and injunctions trying to go through to stop this. So far, they don't seem successful. And the government seems to be taking the land under eminent domain. But of course, it had to be suspension of several laws, like dozens of laws, to get this going, mostly like environmental protection, endangered species laws. And this lawsuit was heard last year by Judge Gonzalo Curiel in San Diego, and he sided with the government. He said the government can't proceed. Now, if you recall that name, that's because that's the judge that yeah. Trump attacked for having Mexican heritage.
Right, I remember that.
And this is why Trump is so problematic and just infecting our system, because you see that, and it's hard not to wonder about judicial independence. Even when every mm-hmm. sign is that the judiciary is independent and remaining that way in this case, you have to wonder, was Curiel like actually going to go that way all along? Or was he trying to prove that he wasn't what Trump thought he was, so he sided with Trump on the wall? I mean, this is how Trump ruins the whole system. You cannot know.
Yeah.
You ruin any chance to know for sure that it's independent.
If he ruled the other way, it would be the same question, right? Did he rule that way because of some, you know, because of the personal beef? Did he rule that?
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, like, he just poisons the pot. And either way, this judge, yeah, it makes it hard for him. But beyond that, you know, it went to the Supreme Court, right?
That's not yet. So what happened in that ruling, the Curiel case, the Supreme Court refused to hear it at all, which meant his mm-hmm. ruling stood.
Right.
But there will be a lot of lawsuits over this. So it's possible that one eventually will be forced to take up by Supreme Court. Okay. To build this wall that doesn't even work.
You know what I did notice on Trump's Twitter feed in the last week or so is that he's stepping up the caravans. They're back, by the way. I haven't heard
much. Oh, there's like two or three or something.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I'm sending more troops down there in the National Guard. The caravans are coming. The caravans are coming. The caravans are coming. I guess that's the lead up to the – I have a feeling we're going to hear about them, State of the Union, tonight. So – I don't know.
We'll probably hear about the fentanyl seizure possible. They had. A very large fentanyl seizure was made at the port of entry last week, which has been, you know, Trump has been like all like, look at our, you know, proof that we need the wall. Well, no.
No.
You need better security at the port of entry.
But guess what? The security worked, right? They seized it. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, right.
And that's where the drugs are coming through.
Right. They're not coming through the brush.
Like you can't drive a truck with that many drugs on it. Across the Rio Grande, even like on the lower sections, people could probably walk across there. Yes, in most places, but like the trucks, they gotta go to ports of entry. That's why you stop them there. That's why you have security there.
Yeah.
So, Rabia, I am moving right now, and it's a pain in the butt. But it has made me realize that my third love bras are my best bras. So I go through my drawers and like, yeah, third leg bras on the top. I have to like dig down. I've got all these other bras I've forgotten I had. Just they're buried there at the bottom, like relegated to like the no longer need pile because the third leg ones are pretty much all I wear these days.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I did a bra purge about a month ago.
I didn't
and
do that.
You, right. I actually thought, well, I donated them. I donated a lot of bras and you know, there are people who can use them and you're right. I didn't donate any of my third love bra because I love them. They are so pretty. They fit perfectly because of their Fit Finder quiz. It's an online quiz, takes 10 minutes to take, and you don't have to go in and have those awkward measurements. You know, this lady, well, I don't want to share how it goes, but you know how it goes. Ladies, y'all know how it goes. You can just do this online. They come perfectly sized for you. Because Third Love uses millions of real women's measurements, they design their bras with breast size and shape in mind. Not just the size, but the shape.
They are hands down the most comfortable bras you will own. And they have no tags, tagless labels. So no itching, nothing that like hangs down, dangles, and you're like, what the hell is that? Oh, it's just my bra tag. The straps don't slip. There's ultra soft smoothing fabrics and lightweight, super thin memory foam cups.
You guys, you know what it's like to have that itch right between your shoulder blades where that tag is on your bra?
Like, dance around, because I can't hardly reach there anyway, so I'm like,
It's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen anymore. Now, they have a new cotton collection, and because, you know, Third Love takes its customer input seriously, they launched a most recent requested style, which is cotton t-shirt bras and cotton underwear. Guess what I'm going to wear all summer? Yep. Look, Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everybody, and right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/45th right now and find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/45th for 15% off today. All right. There's more immigration-related news. One thing I want to talk about was this actually really horrifying report that just, I think it was late on Friday. It was like a really late night, like, filing in federal court, like the same court that's been kind of monitoring the situation with these separated children and trying to get accountability from the government in terms of reuniting them with their families and getting numbers. Well, the government told the federal court a few days ago that it would take, quote, extraordinary effort to reunite migrant children, as if that is an excuse, in sponsor homes with their parents. Now, the excuse they used was this. They said that, well, look, first of all, apparently we have separated thousands more children than the 2,700 or so that we told you about. But now they're saying that if we remove these kids from their sponsor homes, it will further emotionally traumatize them. But it kind of threw in this little tidbit where it said, actually, it has no way of tracking the children taken from their parents. They can't track the children. They don't know who belongs to who. I mean, obviously that is the fucking reason it will take extraordinary effort. I'm so sorry. I'm cursing a lot today. I'm tired. But this just, I mean, was devastating to read. I don't even understand how this is remedied. This is like something out of like a dystopian nightmare.
Unfortunately,
you know?
It's like out of not too distant future. I mean, it's like straight up one of the definitions of genocide is taking children away to be raised by different culture. Like, it's...
Right.
And I just keep going back to the Secretary Nielsen's tweets, like, back at the start. And this is, she's like, oh, there's no policy separating children from their parents. And just denying this was occurring when she absolutely knew what was going on, knew how badly it was being run, knew that they had no solution for actually getting these kids back. And she's still trying to deny it. And no one's holding her accountable for that.
I mean, this is straight up criminal. To me, this is just, these are like human rights violations.
They are.
I mean, like, can somebody hold us responsible, please? Can The Hague step in or something? It can't, because we're not a party. But anyway,
what seems to have happened is a lot of these were the kids that were separated before it was publicly revealed it was happening. And it was so piecemeal that they just didn't even bother to track it. The kids would be taken away and they'd be reassigned as unaccompanied minors. So
right.
People were thinking those were unaccompanied minors like they were in the Obama era, when they were literally unaccompanied minors. Like, you know, usually, you know, not little kids, but kids old enough to walk across the border on their own, like teenagers. They showed up 15, right. 16, 17. Minors, but they did come here in their own power. No, they weren't. They were children who brought parents, but the parents were arrested, so they were then deemed unaccompanied. And no one bothered to write down where they came from, which is how this happened.
I don't... But, you know, Susan, something like this... This cannot be an oversight. This cannot be neglect. It has to be deliberate. How do you forget to keep track of what child belongs to what parent? I mean, that is a choice you're making, that you're not going to create that database.
But it's probably a choice not made. Well, it's not one person in charge of making that choice. I mean, technically Nielsen should be. But obviously at a certain point, you're held responsible for the necessary and foreseeable consequences of your actions. I'm not saying this makes it better for them or this is absolves responsibility. It doesn't. But I can believe that they are literally that incompetent, where no one thought about the big picture. Everyone's like, okay, we're going to start arresting parents. Oh, what happens to the kids who arrest parents? Well, the kids are not unaccompanied, right? Okay, we take them in as unaccompanied minors. They use the databases they have for that. They use the systems they have in place for that. Those systems don't have fields for parent, for unaccompanied minor, or parent they arrived with. So they start processing these kids the way they process the normal ones.
You know, here's what's a little shocking to me. I don't know the internal, and I'd love to maybe get somebody on from the ACLU, which has been on the front of the legal battle on this issue, to talk about kind of the mechanics of this. Because as a lawyer who has represented a lot of clients in immigration, you know, what you can do is if a client for some reason doesn't have the documentation, has lost it, whatever, misplaced it, or doesn't just needs to know, like, what does the government have? You know, you can file a FOIA, you can get a copy of your file, and in that file will be like all the documents that relate to every single thing, that like any kind of immigration activity. So every time you've entered the country, every time you've left the country, every time you're issued something called an I-94, which is an entry card, any visas you were issued, all those things, any applications you filed, in those applications will be the full application. So those applications for any immigrant, migrant, whatever, they come in, it'll say, you know, this is your name, the name of your children, the name of your spouse, where they're born, all that information is in there. So if I can get that for somebody from like 1997, right? I'm not saying we always find everything, but most of the time, actually, it's been a system that works. It'll take like a year to get it, but you can get it. Like, how does this, like, you know, are you telling me that at no point the parents were asked to write down the name of their children and that piece of paper doesn't exist somewhere?
Because there was no field for it. This was a ad hoc policy.
A field is different. A field is what they decide to input into a, but I'm talking about on paper. On paper, like, because most applications would have been done on, well, I don't know. Another thing that can be done, and maybe this is part of the extraordinary effort, is that you can probably pull files to show who entered on any given day, right? So day by day, these are the people who are logged in, and then match them up that way. The point is this, I don't give a shit how much effort it takes. They need to do this.
Agreed.
So Susan, I recently got my stylist to send me a new box of clothing. Doesn't that sound fancy?
What'd you get?
I got a couple of new tops that are suited for my new size because I've dropped a few sizes, dropped a few pounds, and I can wear cuts and colors and styles that I wasn't wearing about 6 months ago.
Man,
so
you should get like 3 boxes. You deserve it.
Well, I've been doing some shopping. Let's just put it like that. But did you miss the part where I said my stylist?
Oh,
I have a stylist.
Well, yeah. I do too. So
you do too. We're so fancy. We're so fancy because we have Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service, and they find and they deliver clothing, shoes, accessories to fit your body, budget, and style. I love it.
It is great. It is an online personal styling service. And you can go to stitchfix.com/45th, tell them your sizes, what styles you like, how much you want to spend, what your lifestyle's like, and they will find you the outfits you need. Put it together, send it to you. You can return it, but I've actually not needed to return anything at all yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. And you know, the thing is that I am actually very, very bad at this. I don't know how to pair stuff. I will Google images. Like, for example, I bought a black leather jacket last week and I was like, what do I wear this with? It's a Google image. So this is perfect for somebody like me who doesn't quite get it. I wear a lot of loungewear. I don't know how to do this, but you know what? What you do with Stitch Fix is the stylist does it for you. And the great thing is I actually love going to the website and it's almost like a little game. Do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like all these images?
It's kind of addictive.
It's kind of addictive. Just go to the next image. But when you get your clothing, you try it on, you only pay for what you like and you return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. And another excellent thing is there's no subscription required. You can just sign up and receive scheduled shipments or, you know, get your fix whenever you want.
Get started now at stitchfix.com/45th. And you'll get an extra 25% off if you keep all your items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/45th to get started today. stitchfix.com/45th.
Moving on to the last immigration story we're going to talk about today. And this is, I'm actually surprised that they did this because I thought everybody knew this has been reported for years now that the Trump Organization employs dozens, maybe more undocumented workers. All across their different, yeah, exactly. All across their different,
Golf empire
and hotels and all that crap. Well, suddenly their company has fired at least 18 undocumented workers from 5 golf courses in New York and New Jersey. And Eric Trump himself confirmed that.
Well, Washington Post had a big expose not too long ago, and that seems to spur action. And of course, right. There's all the women who are coming forward bravely to say, like, yeah, I was employed by Trump and I'm undocumented.
I'm guessing those people are also not going to be paid up. But apparently, yeah, after the article came out in December, the Trump Organization did an internal audit, which, again, I'm surprised they actually took any action, because the truth is, if they didn't take any action, they would still not be held accountable.
Yeah, but it would be politically inconvenient for Trump. At a certain point, it's enough attention where he felt politically he finally had to pull the trigger. Not, you know, really? When he became president, not when he was running for office, not 2 years in, right. He finally decides that, okay, this is going to be a problem, so let's address it.
Wouldn't he just say fake news? Like, it's a lie? I mean, like, that's what he
does. Well, eventually they could start
the
prosecuting, and that's harder to say fake news when you have someone actually, yeah.
Now, there you go. That's probably what it is. All right, so those 18 people have been unceremonious, and I'm sure that's just the start. There'll be more, but that means that they know people are now watching, and that means federal agencies are now watching that. All right. Now, I totally missed this whole story. A BuzzFeed article on Renat payments.
This came out last night. It's still, okay. I mean, it, you know, this goes back to the Trump Tower meeting. Renat Akhmetshin, my apologies to the original Russian, was one of the people who was at the Trump Tower June 9th meeting. He's the one who showed up in like jeans, and like a pink shirt, and was like, oh, I didn't expect to be here. I'm here just casually. Just happened to be in town. Thought I'd drop in my friend buddy over here. And just say hi to the Trumps. And the story is like, it was actually really detailed. It's clear the BuzzFeed had some documents that they were reading off of, because it was, I mean, they had figures and they didn't give exact dates. So they had like exact figures for money and who gave it and where. But the bigger meaning was left like kind of like, you draw the lines for yourself. And they didn't have more to draw the lines themselves, which fair enough. But anyway, this guy in the months before and after was getting very large and suspicious sums of money. Large amounts that were flagged by the institutions that he deposited them, because he couldn't explain where they came from or why he was getting it. And because in some cases it looked like he was violating lobbying laws by receiving money for lobbying that he was not registered to do. Mm. Now, the headline makes it sound like, oh, he was getting this money because of the Trump Tower meeting, which could be true, but there's nothing necessarily in there to say that's exactly what was going on. That said, it is still it's beyond suspicious. It's pretty clear that he was getting money for lobbying that he was not registered to do. So you got your crime right there. But it is possible that these monies, and they were talking like, you know, 20,000 here, 80,000 there, another 100,000 there, that it was connected to either the Trump Tower meeting specifically or for this whole Russian adoptions, quote unquote, thing that was going on. And most interesting to me was the wires that were coming from a guy named Lanny Wiles. He's been working with Akhmetshin for like close to 15 years. So he's a longtime operative in these circles. He's a Republican guy that has done a lot of campaigns.
He's like a political.
He's just a,
like,
you know,
like a political organizer. What is he?
Yeah, Republican mercenary.
Okay.
But the interesting one is that he continued receiving money. It says the article talked about he was receiving checks from Wiles Consulting, that's Lanny Wiles' company, from January 2016, April 2017, and totaled $72,000. But there are other articles that predate this about Akhmetshin quoting Lanny Wiles, and he says the money's going the other way. He says that he was being paid by Akhmetshin to get involved in Russian adoption lobbying. Huh. So why is money going back the other way? I mean, the instant and obvious explanation that, you know, makes the most sense is it's a kickback. There's right. not enough here to conclude that. It's not like the filings we had from Flynn where it was like, yeah, that's definitely a kickback. There's no other possible explanation whatsoever. But it's the same setup, and it looks like it's a kickback, and we definitely have the statements from Lanny Wiles earlier saying that he was the one getting money from Akhmetshin. So why is money going the other way? And then there was, of course, so Natalia Veselnitskaya, she's the one who got indicted earlier for her own problems related to, you know, mostly predating the Trump campaign. And she was also at the Trump Tower meeting, and she had like the most Russian no comment of all time. When BuzzFeed tried to ask her, she responded, "Don't bother with questions. Your article is paid for and you have your text ready. Don't be distracted from what you consider the meaning of life."
What? That's there's a coded message in there somewhere.
I think it's a fuck you is what it is. Like, why not? She's already been indicted. She's not going to comment. So why not have fun with it?
All right. So what do you think is going to happen here? This guy, has he been indicted for anything? Has he been?
No. I mean, there doesn't be a very serious and very obvious like lobbying Registration Act issue here, so maybe he'll get in trouble on that. But it's not clear what the connection is to either Trump Tower. I mean, it is about the Russian adoptions, quote unquote. Like, that was the euphemism they're using for whatever efforts he was behind here.
Right.
But it's not clear. Yeah. It's necessarily connected to the Trump Tower stuff. But there is a very strong suggestion it could be. And hopefully someone's filling in those gaps to let us know more.
What they're definitely doing is taking it down one by one, everybody at that meeting. So there's that.
Well, okay, so here, in addition to the Lenny Wilde stuff, to me, the biggest payment that was, the most important payment that was in the BuzzFeed article was in August of 2017. He got almost $23,000, which...
Cash.
Yes.
Crazy.
And he could not explain where it came from or why. But that's the same time that he testified before Mueller's grand jury.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, again, mm-hmm. not... It's just, correlation does not mean causation, but there's definitely room for some kind of causation to be going on there.
If he lied at the grand jury, Mueller's going to get him. Simple as that. Anything else you want to talk about that? Or are you going to get to the big, big news?
The inauguration scandal.
Oh, my God. I was so excited to read this. Tell us what's going on, Susan.
So yesterday, we had a bunch of articles coming out. Kind of unusual because it seems like today we have a lot of outlets getting a scoop, publishing it. And oftentimes it's not.
Exactly on point.
No. And it's not followed up by other organizations. There's no confirmation reporting, which used to be more common. But yesterday this came out and then everyone piled on with confirmation reporting. So obviously everyone and their dog has gotten a copy of the subpoena to the Trump inaugural committee by federal prosecutors in New York. So I don't know who's publishing that around. I would assume, who knows? And basically CNN, New York Times, everyone had it. So it definitely is real, definitely out there. And it's clear that there's now an investigation going on into what the Trump inaugural committee was up to back in 2016 and 17. It took him long enough to get to this because it was obvious from the start saying not right what's going on there, but...
You read the subpoena? I didn't read the subpoena.
No, they've not. So apparently they were able to get the subpoena, but not able to share it with everyone despite the fact that all these reporters have it. So yeah, kind of annoying.
I mean, there's some language that was reported that from the subpoena that seems to indicate that it's definitely related to some kind of Russian activity or something, right? Am I getting that?
So what we know from this published so far is that this subpoena is very wide ranging. Potential crimes that have been listed on the subpoena are conspiracy against the U.S., false statements, mail fraud, wire fraud, money laundering, inaugural committee disclosure violations, violations of laws prohibiting contribution by foreign nations, and contributions in the name of another person, a.k.a. straw donors, and also election fraud. It's a very wide ranging subpoena that's looking into documents, some specific, some requesting for certain people, and others just open-ended, any communications about foreign money coming in. So yeah, this is going to be the story to watch because it looks sure like they have exposure there, and it's not going to go away even if he fires Mueller. So
All right, not in Mueller's hands.
It's not. But it all does seem to stem from Mueller's investigation. It definitely stems from Mueller's investigation because it seems like Cohen is the source of all this. And Cohen, who is not talking about his mob stuff, but singing freely about all the Trump stuff, has apparently given information that this is where they need to be looking. But yeah, and here's one. So one of the requests involves payments that were made directly by donors to vendors. One of the reports included a note that in the final weeks leading up to the inauguration, Mr. Barrack, that was a longtime Trump friend, Mr. Barrack's deputy, Richard Gates, asked several vendors if they'd be willing to accept payment directly from donors or through channels outside the inaugural committee. Two people familiar with that said.
That's not normal at all.
That's so you can avoid disclosure requirements.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And one of the articles also noted that part of this investigation stems from recordings that are now in the hands of investigators.
Oh, fantastic.
Quote, Mr. Cohen spoke to Stephanie Winston Wolkoff, who was a top official on the inaugural committee. Ms. Winston Wolkoff was fired as an advisor to the First Lady, Melania Trump, in early 2018 after the inaugural committee released its financial disclosure showing that entities controlled by Winston Wolkoff made $26 million.
You mean from her inauguration work?
No. Well, not hers, but companies that she owns or paid for doing work that she was on the committee arranging. But it's not explained. Okay. But there's not really much evidence that her companies did $26 million in work. So, yeah, that's why she was fired, despite being, like, you know, Melania's first hire at the White House. I mean, there is all kinds of nonsense going on in the Nugle Committee. All kinds of, like, disclosure issues that's in there. It's not just, like, a Russian thing, but it is a Russian thing, too, because there are questions about various Russian donors and Ukrainian donors and Israeli donors.
I seem to remember some reporting about tens of millions of dollars also just completely unaccounted for in general. Like, yeah, so I don't know what – I'm sure that's part of this investigation. Who's Sam Patton?
Sam Patton. You don't remember him already?
Girl, my brain is fried. No.
He was indicted.
There are too many characters in this movie.
He was indicted and pled guilty.
Okay.
To Mueller investigation. He was a lobbyist. Okay. Oh, and he admitted and pled guilty very quickly. So, like, this was definitely 2018. I think it was like...
The list of indictments is so long. Yeah.
Yeah. The number of, like, white men associated with Trump who have been, like, convicted or charged with crimes connected to his campaign is pretty long. But Sam Patton's one of them. Yeah. He was kind of flew under the radar because he quickly pled guilty and it was over. But he admitted to being involved in, I guess you'd call it, it's not even lobbying, but he was brokering access to the inaugural committee between pro-Russian Ukrainian oligarchs and inaugural committee people. Yeah. So he pled guilty. He agreed to cooperate, which is, you know, undoubtedly a source of where information is coming from about the inaugural committee's issues. And of course, Rick Gates also cooperating, also involved. There's lots of people who were involved here who are actively cooperating and trying to reduce their sentences. So, yeah.
You know, I gotta say, I used to always be like, Trump keeps saying he's got the best people. No, he doesn't. But actually, no, this kind of worked out.
Yeah.
These are definitely the best people.
Well.
As they spill their guts and sing like canaries. Forgetting to the truth of everything that's happened. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that story. They're probably going to fight these subpoenas, I guess. Right?
I'm sure, based on what he's done so far, my guess is Trump is going to try and pull his stupid executive privilege card, which does not apply until you're actually president. But he has apparently successfully been asserting it before that it happened after his election, which is, again, not a thing and not real, but he's been using that as a reason not to cooperate with Mueller, not to answer questions. So my guess is they'll try that again here, too.
Okay. I just feel like at the end of the day, I don't know if everybody's going to come down around him and he's just going to be the last person standing. Some people had said last week we could expect something, you know, indictments against Don Jr. soon. Nothing yet, but I don't know.
He's like, he'll be last man standing. They're not going to indict Donald Trump while he's president.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what happens tonight, the State of the Union. I will be in the air at the time. So maybe I can stream it. You know, sometimes planes actually have Wi-Fi that work. Ruin my trip. But anyway, Susan, I will see you later in L.A. this week. There's some exciting things going on and maybe we can talk about it when we're back next week.
Yes. I will see you in L.A.
All right. Well, you have a good week and thanks for tuning in again this week. Listeners, we'll be back in 7 days.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is @45thpod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.